Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Totally different subject for 30 seconds. Max sent me this thing during the break because somebody had told me this, and I'm like, it can't possibly be true. But last night's Yankees-Red Sox game, in which the game in the bottom of the ninth with the Red Sox leading 3-1, the Yankees reached base three straight batters to open up the inning. The bases were loaded with nobody out. And they became the first team in Major League Baseball postseason history to have the bases loaded with nobody out in the bottom of the ninth and not score a run and then lose the game. That just seems so unbelievably crazy. Like, how many times do you see the bases loaded and, you know, there's a ground ball hit to the shortstop, comes home for one to first, double play. Like, one swing, you can get two with, you know, with the first at the plate. But that's what it says. First time. It was exciting last night, that's for sure. I actually had a decent day. I like wagering on baseball. I just played all of the unders and was 3-1. I'm going to be on all of the unders again today. There's people that start betting baseball for the first time. They bet it during the postseason, and they love overs. It's just like Monday night football games. People love overs. Sunday night games, love overs. Standalone games, betting public always loves the over. It's easier to root for the over. You don't want to root for the clock to run in football with no points. You don't want to root for, you know, a quick no-hit, you know, kind of no-hitters in baseball are good. And I like 2-1 games. I like the Red Sox, too, to end it tonight against the Yankees. All right, back to the subject at hand. You can play head coach here and make one change defensively to fix the defense. One, what's your number one fix defensively? I wrestled with it. I don't feel good about my answer because I think it's really hard to come up with the right solution when you don't really know what the problem is. And as I mentioned, and I'll say this multiple times, already have, I've been told that it's not one thing. It is a lot of things going on. By the way, they do get that there's an issue. Like, you know, they're not riding the roller coaster here of, oh, we're really good defensively after playing the Giants, or, man, we are really good defensively after playing the Raiders. They do understand their issues. I do think, and again, I want to emphasize this, through four games, they're a better run-stopping team than they were last year. So they did fix one area, at least, you know, temporarily through four games. They also have been, until Sunday, decent at generating and scheming up pass pressure. You know, Armstrong's had a really good year as a pass rush guy, but there are clear issues on the back end in coverage, as we've identified. 301-230-0980. Joe, you get one fix. What is it?
Kevin, how you doing?
I'm well, Joe. Go ahead.
All right. So, you know, I'm going to have to say it because I know this has been a problem. I understand he was injured last year as well when we traded for him, but Marshawn Lattimore, I mean, I understand the Giants and the Raiders, different story. And, yeah, he did okay week one against Malik Nabers. But Marshawn Lattimore is either making this deja vu nightmare, whether he's committing these pass interference penalties or just getting blown in coverage. And it's like, are we really going to have to do that again? Because I'm glad you brought this up in the last segment that the next couple of weeks, we're facing quarterbacks that are top of the QBR rating, I think, for the next seven games at least, and it's not going to look good. So if Marshawn has another bad day when Justin Herbert's going to light him up, are we going to have this conversation again? And back to the little run defense, yes, we have improved a bit, but are we going to say that if Saquon, later in the year, we face Eagles two out of the last three games, has another field day against us? So Take care, Kevin. You got professional
day. Thanks, Joe. By the way, this from Will, who I guess has the PFF numbers. Quan Martin has played free safety the significant majority of the time. Like on Sunday, he played free safety 42 snaps, played in the box 12 snaps. And he said the other games he's got 35-19, Giant game, 46-17, Packers, 39-19. Yeah, he's been much more of a free safety. I liked Quan Martin last year. I liked Chin last year at times. The safety issue is a bit of an issue right now. I think Quan Martin as a free safety is not, it may be their best thing, and maybe Savage ends up, you know, being something here for them. But I think they've got a problem there as well. By the way, you know, one fix to everything is Jaden Daniels coming back. All right, Jaden Daniels coming back, putting the pressure on the opponent because offensively Washington is moving the football, possessing the football, not punting very much, scoring, you know, a lot. That can help too. And the other thing too, I was thinking about this. I do think that if, you know, that essentially the panic button is let's just scheme up a lot of aggressive pass rush pressure. Let's just go after the quarterback and live with whatever happens after that. If they can't fix and they're uncomfortable with the back end. Let's go to Mark in Largo. What's up, Mark?
What's up, Kevin? To all the people that don't know football and know fantasy football, they're going to say Marshawn Lattimore. But, Kevin, I'm so shocked you haven't said this already. Why not take your best asset, your athletic guy, and use him like you use Micah Parsons? And that's Frankie Louvo. I would take Frankie Louvo.
Well, because
Louvo
he's
right
not
now.
Micah Parsons, for starters.
Okay. We know that, Kevin.
Yeah.
We know that. But he's the only one you have on your team that you could use, okay? Use him, blitz him from the side, blitz him from the middle, blitz him from the other side, blitz him from the locker room, blitz him from the stands. It doesn't matter. If you have him getting the pressure on him, do what you have to do. The other thing I would do is put Preston Smith at the end starting on Sunday, because you're going up against a team that has two of their tackles are dead. Yeah. This is where you could use Louvu and use his strength to get pressure on the passer. Because I got news for everybody out there that think it's Lattimore. And I don't think Lattimore's having a good year either. But if you have five Daryl Greens back there, if receivers have time and quarterbacks have time, they're going to get open. You got to get pressure on the quarterback, Kevin.
Mark, look, that is definitely over all of our years of watching football. We understand you get pressure, your secondary is elevated. The difference in today's game is quick game. You know, so many teams essentially try to nullify pass pressure with quick throws. I mean, when you're playing, when you're in quick game and the ball's coming out quickly, you don't.
Middle.
Say again?
That's why I say, in essence to that, you know what the answer is for that?
Yeah, interior pressure.
If you have someone coming up the middle,
yeah.
Like, this is what I couldn't understand. Joe Witt was faking the blitz up the middle. If he would have came with the blitz up the middle, he would have got to penance a lot, I mean, at least four times. You can't do it from the side anymore. That I agree with you. The only way you could stop someone's quick game, you got to get him up the middle.
Okay. Well, you know what?
And
maybe
Bobby
Aaron
Wagner,
Donald's available.
Go
and we can go get him.
Passing downs, and they need to bring Jordan McKinney in there too.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
It's not. You got to get pressure on the passer, Kevin.
Yeah, you did. And you know what? In the first three games, they got decent. In the first three games, certainly against the Giants and the Raiders, they were disruptive with pressure. I agree with you, but like I said, and I've said it for the last 2 days. You know, you want to scheme up pressure, which means now, you know, you've got an extra pass rusher. You've maybe got two extra pass rushers. And now you are really limited, and you better get there, or there are a bunch of house calls coming.
Well, you know what? You know what's interesting, Kevin? You know what's interesting? If Greg Williams had this team, you know what he would be doing.
I know. I agree. And you know what? I think Quinn, I actually think Quinn, if they get sort of frustrated with – the secondary, and the only answer is pressure. I think they could become a hyper-aggressive team on pass downs.
I mean, I don't see that. You know, it's interesting. Greg Williams is the only – you can bring Greg Williams off the street. Everyone knows I'm blitzing from the ceiling. I'm blitzing from the stands. I'm blitzing from the parking lot. I'm blitzing from – and he gets results. So, I mean – the only way you're going to deal with these – Blitzen always works, Kevin. You and I both know that.
All right.
You got a great
show.
Love you, buddy.
Yeah, I love your calls. Thanks. Let's go to Paulie. Paulie, go ahead.
Big guy, L to the W, man. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, man. In the word of my man, Monty Brewster, man, all of the above. You know what I mean? Like, listen, man.
I know, but I want your number one.
Hey, I know, but I'm just saying it ain't no number one. What I'm saying is the number one to me is schematics. Now, and I hate to say this, but I'm in agreement with Mark out there in Largo, man. Like, were you naming all of these players? Lattimore is struggling. Wagner is struggling. Clint is struggling. Luvu, Mikey, ain't a struggle yet. You naming all of these players? It's a schematic problem. Because against these good teams, these two good teams that we played, two good teams, we played two mediocre teams, you know. And against these teams, good teams, we've been very vanilla, period. It's like we playing preseason football out there. And these guys are attacking what they perceive as our weakness. You see, Atlanta game plan was the game plan Green Bay had in the passing game, and they worked it to perfection, just as Green Bay did. This is about schematics, knowing who your players are, knowing the strengths of your defense, and making it work for you. Like you said, we don't have nobody special up front. So you have to be more aggressive than you need to be. And then being aggressive, what you need to be is also putting your D-backs on alert. Saying, so now they know that, okay, it's either going to be something quick or they going something over top. It's too much thinking going on.
Well, you better get there if you're going to be aggressive.
I mean, that's the name of the game. You talk about Quan Martin. This wasn't about they chose the guy that had Will Harris. This wasn't about they wanted Will Harris' talent over Jeremy Chinn. No, they wanted Will Harris' money over Jeremy Chinn. Because one thing I know about Jeremy Chinn,
it was half. It was half.
But one thing about those two, they gained a rapport last year. You seen them get
a little bit
week in and week out. And by the end of the year, they had a hell of a safety combination back then.
I thought so. I mean, a lot of people killed Quan Martin and Jeremy Chinn all year long. I thought by the end of the year it was actually more than you know, satisfactory.
They had a rapport to the last half of the season last year. And this is a schematic thing, man. This is a Joe Witt thing. And look, I can admit I've been wrong on two accounts. I try to defend Joe Witt in the offseason, and I defended Lattimore coming in. Both of them had struggled. Yes, but to me, this is more of a Joe Witt thing than anything, man. They have to come up with a scheme on who they want to be. I said this last week in and week out. You can't be a tough guy 1 week and then be passive aggressive the next week. You know, cause, look, that game on Sunday, everybody in that secondary looked scared. Nobody looked like they knew what they was doing and what they were supposed to be doing. So, when you're naming multiple players, we're naming multiple players. This is a schematic thing that's going on. So, to me, it has to be Joe Witt, man.
So, what would you do? Would you have Quinn take over play calling duties?
No, Quinn would never do that. He would never.
I didn't say he would do it. I'm saying, what would you do?
Well, what I do, I'll bring him into my office and say, okay, we need to develop an identity as something that we're going to live and die by. You know, and let's go here instead of doing this. Okay, let's guess on this guy.
What if the choice? Down. Let me throw this out to you. What if the choice, something of an identity, was to play a ton of zone, and they played more of it recently, and play bend don't break.
Well, that's what we did last year.
That's why
I gave Joe Witt credit. That's why I gave him credit last year. He did more with less last year, and now he's doing less with more this year. So it's a schematic thing, man. They need to be more aggressive, number one, against these good teams and stop being so scared back there. I'd rather die by the gun than die by death by a thousand.
It's always easier for me to literally go after the quarterback and go down swinging. I think it's, by the way, it's a quicker death too, versus the, you know, 14 play drives playing bend don't break and trying to stop him in the red zone. All right, I gotta go. You've expressed your points very well. Thank you. Let's go to Daryl in Columbia. Daryl, go.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I totally agree with Paulie, man. I mean, it's the scheme. And, you know, the only adjustment that I would make is with the player personnel is like Ron Woodson and like Ronnie Lott. You know, once you lose your ability, you know, to play the corner, they move them at safety. And that's what I would do with Lattimore. Okay, I would put him.
All due respect, Marshawn Lattimore has never been Ronnie Lott or Rod Woodson, even in his Pro Bowl seasons.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. No. What I'm saying, okay, Kevin, is that Lattimore can play better facing the quarterback. He needs to face the quarterback. He's lost his strength as a corner. You know, he doesn't have the speed. He's not confident. He holds on to the receivers. He gets called for penalties. So he needs to be looking at the quarterback as a safety. And I think that, you know, that would also help our safety group and move Quan to strong safety. But, again, I agree with Paulie, man. It's all, you know, this guy, Witt, he plays very passive. He's very passive. And these guys did look scared out there, like they didn't know what they wanted to do.
Well, they've looked unsure. They've looked unsure of themselves in the two games against the good offensive teams. And I kind of agree with you, Daryl, and I kind of agree with Paulie from this perspective. If we're talking about more than just one player or one or two players, and I do think it's more than one or two players, then that leans more coaching. Because it's not like all of these guys got worse at the same time. You know, there's something else going on here. If we think all of a sudden Lattimore's terrible, all of a sudden San Ristil's taking a step back, Quan's struggling at safety. Bobby Wagner at his age is going to occasionally... Remember why Bobby Wagner's on the field for every snap. He's an excellent run stopper. He actually can really blitz the quarterback. And he's an extension of being a coach on the field. He just can't cover, but sometimes you're going to have to live with, you know, they're out there in three wide receiver sets and the back moves into the slot and you have no choice. So,
hey, Kevin, let me add one more thing and I'm going to go. I think that they also need to increase the 4-3 package, the base package, and put McGee out there. And if I was Dan Quinn, I would just go to Witt and tell him that I want to be more aggressive in everything that we do, because there were several times that it was 4th-and-2 or 3rd-and-4, and the defensive backs were playing back 10 yards. And they were doing a quick 5-and-out, and they had a first down.
Well, the last 3rd-and-7, the motion got him again. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, well, but I mean, it was a few times, Kevin, that they didn't go in motion, and the safeties were 10 yards back. And as soon as they got the snap, this guy just threw the ball to the open slot, and yeah, they had a first down easy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the one to Bijan when nobody covered him out of the slot. Thanks, Daryl. Appreciate the call. Therein lies the problem. So if we do know that it's not one person or one thing, it's multiple things, that would indicate, especially if it's multiple players, that would indicate more scheme play calling. I mean, Paulie makes good points every once in a while. Aubrey, go ahead. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Kevin. I'm out here in Las Vegas. I spoke with you a few days ago, but I've changed my mind since I got on the call because I was going to talk about Quinn taking over the calling duties and just mention the fact that, you know, those guys are on headsets on Sunday. You don't know what they're saying to each other. He could be more involved and not make a big announcement about it. But I want to give you what I think is the number one, and this is going to be a different take. The number one thing we can do to help the defense, you ready? is to keep them off the field. Yeah. Last year, you know, think about it. The first few games, we were talking about how great it was that we only punted like four or five times.
Right.
So I think that we need to go back to our roots and keep them off the field. We're getting ready to face five, six great quarterbacks in the next, seven, eight games. We're not going to make all these fixes this week in 4 days. So I think it goes back, and I know I'm beating a horse here, but I did it on the last call. It goes back to Cliff Kingsbury. If he does not commit to running the football and eating up clock and keeping the defense off the field, then the defense is going to continue to suffer. They're just out there too much, and they're not that good. Let's just face it. We're going to outscore people and not win defensive struggles, in my opinion. That's what I think.
We
should keep them off the field.
Yeah. No, your best defense is your offense when your offense has that capability, and this one does. Last year, they were 7th in the league in time of possession. This year, through 4 games, they're 28th in the league in time of possession, to emphasize your point. And the other part of that is that while, yes, the running game, if successful, can really be a clock eater, I don't care how they possess the ball and how they maintain possession of the ball and how they move it and how they score it. I just want it to happen. And last year, there were a lot of different ways, depending on the opponent, that they did that. So it's not for me an exclusive, let's run the football and possess it. It's do whatever you need to do. And I trust Cliff, even though I thought they should have run it more against Atlanta on Sunday. But with Jaden back, I trust him to do what's necessary to maintain possession of the ball and score. Ultimately, you just want to score. Yeah, it's better if you possess it for a while and score, but the longer a drive continues, the less likely it is to end in touchdown, over, because there's more opportunity for mistakes, for sort of self-infliction in the drive. But I'm with you. Their best defense last year was their offense. Appreciate the call. Kevin in Arlington, one fix defensively, what would it be?
Hey, Kevin, thanks for taking my call. I just want to make a comment or two, and I'll get to the fix. And you already had my personnel fix that we texted about. I agree. We need to put Mikey back out on the boundary, et cetera. But I think it's ironic that we're looking at the sixth consecutive year where we have defensive-minded men building this team, both in the coaching and in the front office. And here we are. We still suck defensively. Yeah, last year, we're 30th-ish in defending the run. Small sample size, I get it so far this year. But now we're 30th-ish defending the pass. And it's just incredible. If you look at our draft capital, you look at our money, et cetera, it's all gone to that side of the ball. For what? All right. I just had to get that out of the way. It's very frustrating because here we are. We're not any better defensively. Having said that, I think Paulie's point is spot on. When everything's part of the problem, when it's multiple, and by the way, when you love a pie chart to show, okay, how much of it is wit / coaching versus players, but whatever. But when you're having this.
No, the point is, if you're pointing to a bunch of players that aren't playing well and have played well at various points in their career, that is a strong lean to it must be scheme. Yeah.
It is. So here's the thing, though. And it's a Quinn Witt thing with the susceptibility to getting smoked by Shanahan offenses. Yeah. Where is the self scout regarding, what do we have to do differently to be at least?
I don't know. You don't think there's been a self scout on that?
And so just to finish, and then, yeah, please jump in. You know, I don't think this needs to be publicized, but, you know, Mike Shanahan, hey, Mike, come be a consultant and tell us how would you beat us. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, well, I talk to Mike every once in a while. He's not doing any of that stuff anymore. He is consulting one team and one team only, and that's his son's team.
I understand it.
Yeah.
I get it. I get it. No, I just said that because I know how you feel about Mike, and I like Mike too.
Yeah.
But seriously, they need to hire someone who understands and can coach Quinn and went up on what do you have to do differently, because they don't get it.
Maybe. You know who'd be great at that? Would be Cooley. He understands that offense better than anybody. Thanks, Kev. Appreciate it. All of you that I missed, apologize. I have a guest now. John Orion's going to come on with us. We'll try to get back to this at the end of the show. We can. Because there are a lot of good ideas, and I know a lot of you on hold had some. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
John Orand is our favorite when it comes to TV media and things like television ratings, which he and I care about. I know not everybody cares about that stuff. But there is a developing situation, if you're not following this, with the Caps, you know, basically a week away from the start of their season, the Wizards a little bit further off. With how we're going to consume those games, for those of you that are interested, I understand not everybody's interested in the Wizards right now. John and I are. We're diehards, always have been. So, update everybody on this, you know, monumental sports being dropped by YouTube and by others, and how people in the DMV are going to be able to watch Wizards Caps games this year.
Can I ask you a quick question first, Kevin?
Yes.
Because you host a local radio talk sports talk show. How many calls are you getting on this?
Look, if I were going to get calls on this, I wouldn't need you on the show. I'm kidding, of course. But, yeah, I'm interested in this, and this is one of those things. This is real inside baseball, right? When in doubt during football season, you talk football, period, in this kind of format, period. If you stray away from the Skins, the Commanders, or the NFL, you're at great risk, unless there's something that you're really passionate about, or it's important information for everybody to know, or the guest is always really good. And you're always really good. So I'm not losing here, but if you want to know the truth, the number of calls would be minimal. Minimal.
Well, here's the good news. I love this topic, so I can't wait to talk about it. And so the problem is that Ted and Zach Leontes ran into a buzzsaw of the entire media industry. And across the country, you have cable operators, including Comcast, and you've had satellite distributors, including DirecTV, that have been taking the regional sports networks, which is what Monumental Sports is, and putting it on another tier, like a more expensive tier, because they're tired of the proverbial grandmother down the street helping to subsidize our addiction to local NBA and NHL games. Well, what's happening right now is that, as of today, Monumental Sports Network is dark on Hulu Plus Live TV, which is a streaming service through Disney, and they went dark on YouTube TV, which is becoming now the third largest distributor. If you take a look at the number of regional sports networks that Hulu Plus Live TV and YouTube TV carry, it's only the NBC sports regional networks, and it's going to drop those networks too when those contracts come up, and it just happens to be Monumental Sports Network's time. And so, you know, there are no other RSNs there. There's the FanDuel Sports Networks, former Fox Sports Networks. They're not on it. Yes Network isn't on it. This is the way the industry is going, and it's sort of like what's happening to Monumental Sports Network. So, one of the reasons is that, you know, I know that some of the messaging coming out of Monumental is, you know, we're dropping the price. The price is still very high compared to all the other programming that people get. And it
you're
just
talking
isn't
about to watch
these
games via monumentalsports.com.
No, I'm talking about with the price that YouTube TV pays.
Oh, for the YouTube programming. Well, hold on. Just big picture. If the Caps fans want to watch the Caps starting a week from tomorrow night in the regular season, if they have cable, they'll have Monumental and they'll be able to watch the games, correct?
Correct.
If they have YouTube TV, which I have now, they won't be able to. If they have Hulu Plus, they won't be able to watch those games unless they watch it through Monumental Sports and pay a subscription fee.
Exactly. And so if you're a distributor, everything that I'm going to espouse is sort of anti-consumer because, like, the consumers just want to watch the games, right?
Yeah.
But, like, if you're YouTube TV, you're saying, like, why am I going to pay for that programming when you're selling it on your own? There's no exclusivity to us here in order to have it. And even if you go to Comcast, you're going to be spending like a ton of money because you have to get an added tier in order to see it.
Right.
And so there are business reasons why these companies aren't just being mean. And also, if you look at YouTube TV, they're right now in the middle of a knockdown, drag-out fight with NBC Universal. They're also getting ready for a knockdown, drag-out fight with Disney and all of their channels. And they just got through a knockdown fight with Fox. So Monumental Sports Network and the Capitals and Wizards, that doesn't hit their radar screen. Like that's just when Zach Leonsis came out and said, like, they're not even talking to us. There's a reason for that. They're focused on these other like multi-billion-dollar deals with these bigger with these bigger program networks.
Okay, so this is interesting. So they're just too small of they're a fly on on YouTube TVs and NBC. You know they're dealing with the big boys. They're dealing with all the NBC issues.
Well, not only are they just a fly, not only are they small. But the entire strategy of these companies has been moving away from carrying local regional sports networks, and
So what do they do? What do the Leonsises do here?
I think what they have to do is they have to really plug two things. They have to start really pitching their direct to consumer service, because you can watch every single game. It's going to cost you, but you can go to Monumental Sports Network and watch every single game, and they have to plug that. And they also have to try to get people to go over to Comcast or DirecTV or any other service that has their games. And third, speaking as a Wizards fan, Kevin, they have to put a product on the floor that I'm going to want to pay for to watch. The Wizards won 18 games last year and 15 games the year before. And the last time they were over 500 was in 2018. So when they're trying to whip Wizards fans into a revolt, like they're taking away your games, like they haven't been relevant in a decade since John Wall was in town. So you know, they have to get a winning product. They have to promote their own direct-to-consumer service, and they have to send people over to Comcast, DirecTV, and other distributors that carry Monumental Sports Network.
I mean, the problem with the Comcast thing is so many people have switched to YouTube TV for a number of reasons and have moved away from cable, just like everybody's moving away from these RSNs. So the direct-to-consumer thing would make sense, but I just don't know. This is my gut. I'm paying whatever it takes to watch every NFL game, okay? And I will do that every year. But I'm not paying, as you just described, a premium to watch, even though I love the Wizards and they are close to my heart. I'm not paying, another fee to watch that product. And by the way, it would have to be a great product. So I'm curious, how has their direct-to-consumer business gone?
I haven't seen the numbers, but the problem that Ted and Zach have right now is that the Capitals, the NHL fan base, is rabid, and they're going to follow the team wherever it is. But it's relatively small. It's a hockey fan base, and the NBA fan base, I actually looked this up before coming on. The team with the worst, the NBA team with the worst record since 2000. It's your Washington Wizards. There's not an not Jim Dolan's Knicks, not Michael Jordan's Hornets. It's the Wizards, and so it's hard to whip up that fan base to go and watch it. And then if you listen to some of the preseason chatter about the upcoming season, it's like, oh, well, we hope we're competitive in the second half of the season, and that's not going to get people to subscribe to direct consumer service, and it's not going to whip up a frenzy of people that are going to be ditching their YouTube TV subscriptions in order to get this regional sports network.
What about an over-the-air option?
That is an option, and that's an option that other people are doing in some people are doing in other markets. The problem is that they have existing deals with DirecTV, with Comcast, that so they can't take games out of those packages and put them over the air. I guess they could, but it's something that they can't do on a dime. That's going to take a little bit of a negotiation, and it does happen in certain markets.
Over the air, by the way, for those wondering, that would be like putting the games on Channel 9 or Channel 7 or Channel 5 or Channel 4.
Channel 20 back in the day.
Back in the day, yes. Channel 20 back in the day. Of course, back in the day, those were just road games, remember? Yeah, we didn't get the home games on Channel 20.
Road games, and I think they were only on on like Friday nights, too, or Saturday nights. It was only like a
weekend. I don't know. I can remember watching weeknight games on Channel 20. I think most of the road games when we were younger were over the air on Channel 20, but they couldn't do home games because of the protection of, unless, the sellouts were in advance. They didn't even have a sellout rule, I don't think, in the NBA. You could correct me if I'm wrong.
My parents were too strict. I had to go to bed.
It was home team sports, though, that eventually carried all of the home games and then eventually all of the games. Yeah, this is, I guess on some level, wouldn't Ted think this is going to drive more people to my direct-to-consumer offering? Which, by the way, what is the cost of that? I have no idea what the cost of that is.
I should have looked that up. It's I don't know what the cost of it is. I think
is it hundreds relatively... of dollars a year, or is it $50 a year?
I would expect it to be about $20 a month, or maybe $30 a month, or something sort of in that area.
So like $200 a year.
To jump in real quick, fellas, they dropped the annual price to $179.99. The monthly price is still, I think, $20 a month.
Okay, so instead of $240, you can pay for it for the year for what did you say?
$179.99, okay. $180.
All right, so you get a $60 discount if you pay it for the year. I don't know anybody that would pay for that for the Wizards. I don't.
I have friends who remain Oriole fans, and they got the Masson direct to consumer service for the Oriole games. And they ditched it by June because the Orioles were out of it, and they had no luck. So the beauty of this for fans is if you're a Caps fan and they start slowly and you can ditch it. You're not stuck to it for the entire season, and you can end up saving some money potentially on it. I suppose.
Look, it's better than paying for Comcast and YouTube TV, obviously, at $20 a month.
No doubt, but I would think that. If you're a big Wizards fan, or if you're a big Caps fan, and you want access to the RSN, you're going to ditch YouTube TV, you're going to ditch Hulu, and you're going to go back to Comcast, or you're going to get a satellite dish and get it through DirecTV.
But again, to your point, the products being offered just aren't needle movers for most.
Yeah, they could be in a couple of years, but they just aren't today. I mean, the timing is how long have the Wizards been in the rebuilding mode now?
Five years? A long time, since 1979, basically. all right, we're talking to John Orand. John, yeah, go ahead. You were going to say something.
Oh, no. I'm good.
Oh, yeah. At Orand _ puck on X. John, of course, is... a sports correspondent for Puck News, and he's got a really good podcast called The Varsity with John Orand. You can get that anywhere you get a podcast. In looking ahead to a potential, you know, baseball lockout. This is off of the conversation of just Ted in general. You know, he's had interest, obviously, in purchasing the Nats. These RSNs are dying all over the place. And now Major League Baseball is taking back, for a lot of teams, you know, sort of the TV rights, and they're going to sell them themselves. Is that essentially, you know, along with, you know, a salary cap, yes or no? A salary cap makes it more attractive to own a baseball team than no salary cap. But the TV aspect of that, John, does that make it less attractive for Ted?
In a certain sense, it could, because he just bought this RSN in 2022. He only bought it 3 years ago.
Wow. Okay.
Because it used to be owned by NBC Sports Network,
yeah,
and run by, yeah, NBC. So it was just about 3 years ago that he bought this. So this is a big payout for an investment for him, and he wants to build it out. And the best way to build it out, obviously, is through local sports rights. However, one of the things that baseball is taking a look at, and a deal that has not been announced yet, but everybody knows it's coming, is, you know, ESPN is going to be the exclusive provider of MLB.TV. That's the out-of-market streaming package. And so if you get the ESPN's direct-to-consumer service, you're going to have access to out-of-market baseball games. It's also because baseball controls the rights to several teams that just got the Mariners rights, the Padres rights, Diamondbacks, Rockies. I forget what there's one more out there as well. I forget which one that is. They have the local rights to that. And that package, if baseball is able to amass all these local rights, and there's a good chance they will be, because what's happening here in D.C., again, it's happening across the country. It's not unique to,
right,
to Ted and Zach or D.C. If they're able to get that, and your ESPN or your Amazon or your YouTube, Royals games in Kansas City, they're the most, they bring on the most viewers of anything on TV, whether the Royals are good or not.
Wow.
Same thing with Orioles games and Baltimore, same thing with Twins games in Minnesota. And so if you start to amass those local rights and put them on a streaming service like the ESPN streaming service, or again, like Amazon or YouTube, that's a package that these companies are going to pay billions of dollars for. So what local teams are going to give up in terms of the local revenue, they're going to make up in spades if it's sold nationally like that. And so that's one way to look at it. The problem is you have teams like the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Cubs, you know, the bigger teams in the bigger markets that don't want to take part. But you can see where baseball is moving in terms of this. Just going to start with the smaller markets and then start to build from that.
I'm talking to John Orand. All right, let's talk some football. I mean, we've seen this has been a pretty good start. Monday night, by the way, was a disaster, those two games. But until Monday night, where are the overall NFL numbers and even college football numbers? It seems like every press release I read, it's like it's another record.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we love to talk about ratings. I've tried to stop writing about ratings this season because Nielsen is changing the way that it counts ratings, and it benefits the NFL and it benefits college football. Everything is up right now, and it's not
how
necessarily
so?
Because for example, they count out of market out of home viewers. And so that means, like, if you're watching it at a bar or a hospital or a restaurant or anything like that, at a friend's house, I mean, they used to say, okay, out of home viewers are going to be a certain number of people. I don't know the specifics, like 2, 2.5, and you know they increase that to like 4, and so that just sort of like that adds to that. They're increasing the markets where they add in the out of home too. So that's adding numbers into it too. So
okay. Is that a better reflection of the audience size, but just bad for comparison purposes?
Exactly. So I do believe that it better reflects how many people are watching it. But when you say this, when, for example, you have a blowout Super Bowl and it's like, hey, golly gee, this got the most viewers ever in Super Bowl history, you know, you start to scratch your head and say, like, wait, what's different and how is that even possible? So everything is up. If you look at the total numbers, the NFL is still not just the king of sports, but the king of entertainment programming in the United States. And one of the stories that I've been ODing on, Kevin, is the NFL has an out in its media contracts in 2029, and so that's still 5 years away. But Roger Goodell and the networks, both sides, are saying that they'd be willing to open it up even next year in order to just get some sort of certainty. You know, these TV networks want to make sure that they keep this going until 2034 or beyond. And so that's something that I've been ODing on, and it just shows that the TV networks, the streamers, and the NFL all are beyond thrilled with the numbers that are coming out of the NFL.
So, I mean, are we going to end up, even if it gets done, if something gets amended before 2029, are we going to just all as consumers end up paying even more to watch every game? Who doesn't have the NFL at this point? Apple TV, Hulu. I mean, who else is going to get involved? Everybody is going to try to get involved no matter what the price is.
So right now, like, YouTube is involved with the NFL, but they only had one game. Netflix is involved with the NFL, but it only has those Christmas Day games. So what if the NFL decides, like, okay, we're going to reopen these deals, and we're going to take a couple of Sunday afternoon games, maybe from the 1 o'clock packages, and we'll put them and create a new package that maybe Netflix will spend $1 billion on, or maybe YouTube will spend $1 billion on. So there, doesn't mean consumers are going to pay more. Potentially, but it also means that the consumers are going to be able to see more because they're going to take a game that's going to like 5% of the audience on Sunday afternoon, and they'll give it a national window or an international window, for goodness sakes, on Netflix or YouTube. So there are different trade-offs to it.
I texted you about this, and you don't know what the numbers are, but I'm curious if you
know what
have
I did. I did double check. So I don't have for Commanders local ratings. I don't have week four yet. Through week three, they're kind of mediocre. They're averaging about 13 locally, which is that's a rating, and that's below the league average.
Yeah,
but. There's the schedule has been really mediocre for the Commanders. One Thursday night game, the Giants haven't been a draw for a while. Las Vegas, Atlanta. I would give this some time to see what happens on that. Right now, it's not very good, but the schedule hasn't been a very TV friendly schedule for the team.
I hear you, but this was the most anticipated season with the highest expectations in a long, long time with a superstar quarterback. I'm shocked by that. You know, they've sold out their first two home games. It took them a long time to sell those games out. They have not sold out every other game this year. We've talked about the reasons why, and I think we even disagree somewhat on the reasons why, but a 13 locally, so where does that rank?
I don't have the actual rankings.
But it's bottom half of the league, right?
Yeah, the source said it's below the league average, so it's the bottom half of the league. And the source that I had just mentioned the schedule so far. When they play the Cowboys, when they play the Eagles, when they get some of these bigger games on the schedule,
they were low last year, even with a 7-2 record and one of the hottest teams in the NFL with the rookie of the year.
Yeah. But what people have told me, we'll see what happens. It's a bad start, no doubt. Or not a bad start. It's a mediocre start. let's wait and see, because it's the year after the breakout year that you start to start to see it reflected in the viewership. And so we'll see if this is it certainly isn't a green flag. It's not quite a red flag. What's the middle? A beige flag, pink flag, something to keep your eye on, but it's not great right now.
You know, I have a complaint watching college football, and I'm wondering if this is a thing or not. So when you watch games on Peacock, it's a pain in the you-know-what to get from Peacock out of Peacock back to YouTube TV, you know, to watch all of these games. I have found myself almost avoiding the Peacock game unless it's really close late because of that. Is that a complaint? Or am I just old and I haven't figured out the easy way to go from that kind of streaming to YouTube?
A little bit of both. It's because whenever I complain about it, younger people get frustrated with me. I sound like a boomer to them.
Yeah, but I've had my sons have agreed with me on this.
I'm telling you that what you just identified is we didn't talk a lot about YouTube TV's negotiations with NBC Universal. That it all centers around this, because NBC Universal wants you to come to watch it in Peacock, and then if you have to get out of Peacock, then you do that in order to watch something else. YouTube TV is saying, we want to make it a better user experience, so we want to have Peacock within YouTube TV so that you can easily go from one to the other. NBC doesn't want to give up that control. It's saying, like, we're not going to let you know what our viewership is, and, you know, being able to sell it to advertising. And there's a lot of control issues there. And YouTube is saying it's better for the fans. And it's hard to see a middle ground here. One is going to have to give as opposed to the other. And that's where the big problem is. And it's because of what you said. You mentioned Peacock. Thursday Night Football. I sit through the commercials for Thursday Night Football. I never sit through the commercials anymore. It's hard to get out. You identified a really big problem in the business that these multi-billion, trillion-dollar companies are right now arguing over.
Tell me about Ryder Cup ratings, and I think it's a tremendous event. I think it's an event for non-sports fans, or casual sports fans, but it's up against football. So how does it do? And do you think they'll ever consider changing the date?
I haven't heard that they'd consider changing the date. I think that the numbers, I don't have the exact numbers off the top of my head, but I saw them as being like 3-4 million for the Sunday, which for golf, any kind of golf is pretty good, especially considering that the match seemed to be pretty much over on Saturday. So it was probably hard for tune in on that. The NBC loves having it. They have a long-term deal with the PGA Tour, and NBC doesn't have a Sunday afternoon football, and this having something that they can slot in September every couple of years that bring, you know, 4 or 5 million people, plus on the number of people that are now subscribing to Peacock because of it. I don't see the date changing. Something that, you know, one of the biggest media companies in the country is doubling down on. So it's going to be 2 years from now, it'll be pretty much similar. 4 years from now, pretty much similar as well.
All right, last one, and I've gone way over with you per usual.
I know.
But you and I have talked about
too much fun on this.
I know.
Exactly.
We've talked about Troy Aikman over the years, you know, how NFC East fans don't like him. I've never had that issue with Troy. I've actually always thought he was good. But there has been a development with Troy Aikman as a broadcaster in the last two seasons. It's become a huge trend on social media. He can't stop laughing during the broadcast. Have you noticed this? And what are they doing about it? This has become annoying to a lot. I mean, it is every single game. You'll see it trending on social media. Can Troy stop laughing at everything, including his own attempts at humor?
Is he laughing at Joe Buck or the play on the
field? He's laughing at everything. He just can't stop laughing. He's giggling and laughing football throughout the entire broadcast. Look, the game he had the other night, I can't blame him. But, I mean, so do you know about this thing?
I hate to say that I don't. My Monday Night Football is stuck on the Manning cast. I love watching the Manning cast. It's after a whole weekend of football, like it's just kind of a good way to ease out of the weekend to me. So I don't watch the Joe Buck and Troy Aikman nearly as much as I should. Next time I come on, I'm going to have a ready answer for you, though, I okay. promise.
All right. I got to roll. I always enjoy this. Thanks. Appreciate it, as always. Hey,
thanks a ton, man. Take care.
All right. John Orand, everybody. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.